You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
OPEC's chief fuels a debate on oil investment. Hello, I'm Leanna Byrne, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. A very good morning to you. The Secretary General of the oil producers cartel OPEC, Haytham Al-Geish, says $14 trillion will be needed to pour into the oil industry over the next 20 years. He also stressed the need for renewable energy sources to work alongside oil to meet the expected 25% increase in energy demand. He spoke exclusively to the BBC's Sally Bundock.
We have always at OPEC talked about the concern we have for future underinvestments, as some have called for stopping investment in oil. We believe this is equally dangerous. This will lead to volatility in the future, possibly supply shortages. And therefore, we at OPEC have always advocated for the importance of continuing to invest in the oil industry, as we also invest in decarbonizing the industry and move on to adding other forms of alternative energies such as renewables.
Washington has been very vocal when oil prices have been going up and up and up and you have cut production in the past. They have an election next year, and if price at the pump is high, that will be an issue.
From our perspective in OPEC, we look at the market global holistic picture, supply and demand, economic growth, and we have a technical ministerial level body that meets on a bi-monthly basis, hands-on approach. As I said, proactive, preemptive and precautionary.
Well, let's talk about those ministerial meetings, because you've got one on Wednesday. Will there be changes to the current production cuts announced?
We have an agreement in place that runs through till the end of 2024. I cannot say what the outcome of this meeting will be yet. We have to meet and wait and see.
That was Secretary General of OPEC, Haytham Al-Geish. Now let's do the numbers. Russia's ruble is close to an new all-time low against the dollar. Why did it drop? Well, a couple of things. People were sending their money out of Russia in other currencies. And Russia's current account surplus, which is like its savings account with the rest of the world, has been getting smaller. European markets are down, and Hong Kong's Hang Seng closed down nearly 3%, its lowest in nearly a year. All major sectors declined on the Hang Seng, but trading in the struggling property group Evergrande resumed and its shares rose. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell reports from Beijing.
The giant developer was once a symbol of China's booming economy, but has since come to represent all that's gone wrong with the country's heavily indebted property sector, which makes up a quarter of its overall GDP. Later this month, a hearing will commence considering whether Evergrande should be forced into liquidation. Up until now, the Chinese government has seemed reluctant to bail it out.
Stephen McDonnell reporting. Now, back to oil. Last year, when Russia invaded Ukraine, there were concerns that putting sanctions on Russian oil could mess with the global oil supply. So Western nations came up with a price cap of $60 a barrel to reduce the money going to Russia. But here's the tricky part. They relied on Western shipping companies and insurers to enforce this. However, Russia started sending most of its oil through a so-called dark fleet outside the system. The BBC's Paul Kenyon tracked down one of these ships making its way to India, where the oil is refined before returning to Europe.
I've got to tell you, the waves are crashing over us. And this is, I mean, it's a huge vessel.
Artemis, you're a thing.
We managed to make radio contact with the Artemis tanker.
Artemis, where are you heading for? What's your destination?
Our destination is Vadinar, India, via Suez Canal.
Wow, how far is that, Artemis? Sounds like a long journey.
It's about 20 days from now.
My colleague Priti Gupta is visiting a huge refinery in Vadinar. In fact, the second biggest in India, called Nayara Energy.
So when we enter this area from far and wide, you can see these huge chimneys, like huge pillars standing out. When we look at the amount of oil which is coming to India from Russia, it's huge amount. A lot of refineries are bringing in crude oil from Russia.
around half of the crude oil that this refinery processes is now from Russia. Down in the port, petrochemical products are loaded onto tankers ready for delivery around the world. For the next leg, we could have chosen any one of dozens of ships leaving the Indian coast to see where they go next. A few days before, we'd been in the offices of Global Witness in London, an international NGO that campaigns on the environment, conflict and human rights. Upstairs, on the fourth floor, Mai Rosner, the group's ship-tracing ace. She's part of their Ukraine team and is soon fixed to her laptop.
So what we can see is that the Sunny Liger picked up the jet fuel in the Vadinar refinery in Gujarat.
It's about to make a very long journey, effectively retracing the same route as Artemis, but in reverse, 8,000 miles to a place that might surprise you.
Yeah, Sunny Liger, LOE, loud and clear. Yeah, loud and clear also.
So just as we thought the fog was starting to lift, it's actually descending and it's got a lot thicker. And we're at a really wide part of the Bristol Channel here. We're back on the water with skipper Jeff.
There's some soldiers somewhere.
What, on the left?
Yeah.
We're cutting across to the outer buoy now.
We know that around half of Nayara's oil is Russian, so we can say that the jet fuel being delivered by the Sunny Liger is more likely than not to be derived from Russian origin oil. What will happen to it?
Off it goes to the airports.
And it's taken a 17,000-mile journey to get here via the refinery in India, when before sanctions, the journey was a mere 2,500 miles direct to the UK. Some of us will be flying off on holiday, powered by fuel whose origins were somewhere in Putin's Russia. Some of the money we pay will, several times removed, end up in the Kremlin's coffers, potentially helping finance Putin's war against Ukraine.
That was Paul Kenyon with that report, and I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Have a great day, and thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.